Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, March 13th, and welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners General Discussion. And 2018, by the way, President or Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. And appreciate everybody postponing or moving this to 11 o'clock so we could take in some other meetings this morning. We're going to kind of juggle the order around today, and we'll start with item number 3, Department of Forestry, Onion Mountain Tower Request.
That's correct.
Would you like to come forward?
Yeah.
So you guys received my letter. Basically, what we're looking to do is we're looking to expand our existing detection system. The Onion Mountain area is an area where we've had a fire history of the last, as recently as last 4 years, 13. It was 14. We had the Onion Mountain fire. And then again, in this last year, we had a fire up Shan Creek. And so there's a lot of potential up there. What we're looking to do is we're looking to put a detection camera on your guys' tower up there, assuming you guys will allow it and have space and it doesn't interfere with any of your frequencies. I think it's going to be a benefit to the community. It's going to allow us to get out there, detect fires early, get out there and stop them while they're still small. So that's basically what the ask is.
Who does the maintenance as far as once it's up and then what kind of, is there any contract proposal as far as liabilities of access for maintenance versus our folks climbing the tower versus you climbing the tower kind of thing?
I don't think you guys would hold any liability, and we can write that up in any agreement that we have. We would have to do some sort of radio use agreement or detection camera agreement. We have certified radio techs that are certified to climb. We can have some sort of a hold harmless clause in the agreement that we come up with. As far as maintenance goes, that's all on us. We would be maintaining it with our existing radio techs, and all the system would be maintained by us. There wouldn't be any cost to the county.
I think that I've had some conversation, I want to say, our facilities director, probably not our forester, because I don't think he'd care. I mean, he's interested in the fire suppression element and getting you guys out there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You got a lot of territory to cover, and lightning strikes can be really demanding for a couple of days stretch. So
we
have a history of being supportive of that with the Grayback camera system up there and Cameron Camp doing that.
Yeah. But
there was some concerns, and I was looking via email, and I can't find that email. What's the possibility of erecting your own tower in there? And so I'm like just trying to get
it. So it's a possibility. We just have to come up with the funds. It's pretty expensive.
Right.
It's like 4 times as much to erect a tower and then put the camera system on it. The camera system alone is about $40,000.
Yeah.
To put a tower up, you're looking at $100,000 to $120,000 for the tower, at least the ones that I've done, and that was several years ago, so it could be a little bit more.
I wonder if there was an ability to partner in, like, if power was an issue, if we were, like, fully allocated for backup generation for power.
Yeah.
I believe that there's space, is what I've been told.
Okay.
So that's not a that's not a concern. But there was something, and I don't remember what it was, honestly, but I feel like with the bookend being, you know, $150,000 for a new tower, wouldn't that be better money spent on improving existing infrastructure that's ours?
Yep.
You know, to say, hey, you're going to pitch in a little bit, we're going to pitch in a little bit, make this tower what it needs to be to facilitate this need, as opposed to erecting another tower.
Absolutely.
For a camera?
Yep.
That seems pretty redundant and expensive to accomplish something similar. So there is a concern that I'm not able to articulate today.
Okay.
And if there aren't others, what I would suggest, this is just me, is maybe you and I and Ryan Johnson work out what that concern is, those details. We've got existing contracts. I mean, all of our towers are co-mingled.
Yeah. In fact, you have radio equipment on one of my towers on Little Grayback.
So that the contracts are there. They're not rocket science.
Yep.
We just resurrect one of those things and then apply it to this situation.
Yep.
Well, let's work out whatever that inconsistency is. I was kind of hoping he would be here today and he could articulate it, but he must have gotten pulled away to something else. So.
And I'm also worried, the Forest Service has towers up there as well. I'm trying to work with them to get access onto their tower as well.
Okay.
But it would probably take me significantly longer to get access there than
you may not
through
be young
guys.
Enough to get that done.
Right? That's a possibility.
An act of Congress.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Well, let's go down the path of least resistance until we find a reason that's not going to work. If that's
I was going to say, should we just approve putting your tower up there right now because we got a season coming up?
We're not putting a tower up. That's not what he's asking.
Excuse me, putting a camera up there on our tower rather than
work out the
and
details.
Then look at future. You know, say in 5 years we're going to collectively go and build a new tower or whatever.
Yes.
So
who's responsible for vandalism? Do you ever get any vandalism on all this equipment up there?
Absolutely. In fact, the first tower that we put up here was due to vandalism to one of our existing towers. It was a wooden structure. These steel towers are, they don't have quite the vandalism problem, but up at Onion Mountain they had their Raw station vandalized recently. Putting cameras up there tends to lower the amount of vandalism. So you would have during the summertime, you'd have somebody actually watching it, at least during the daytime, from dawn till dusk, as well as the ability to get in there and look at images after the fact as well. So it seems to cut down on the
images. Is the images recorded off of there? You know, I mean, kids plinking around with 22s and stuff decide they're going to knock one of your cameras out. Is it stored somewhere so you could actually see maybe the rig that they were in?
Yep.
Good. Okay. Yep.
So I just had a conversation with Congressman Walden's office about the frontier communication issues out in the valley. And one of the solutions that was kind of thrown around was putting using a microwave system to have a backup. So when their phones go down, there's a way to reach 911 in Josephine, or in this building.
Yeah.
And so I had approached just IT from a standpoint of they had maintained the microwave system prior, and then Chuck moved to facilities, and so they're still a part of that. There are some maintenance and infrastructure issues with the towers that probably need to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're doing this, it'd be probably the right time to see if with Frontier as a possibility of utilizing the system and such like that. So it was a topic I was going to be bringing up, not knowing you were on the agenda.
Yeah.
Anyhow, as far as what is that process and looking at our towers and the maintenance and all that other kind of stuff. So I support the theory of a camera system going up there.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we work out the logistics.
Yeah.
And while we're looking at the system of what the needs are, seeing if there's a possibility of the Frontier connections to try to provide the 911 service for outages of power and that out there. So
why don't you work on that? I'll work on this. I'll get that done. And we'll have you up and running hopefully soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll be in touch Thursday.
Okay. Excellent.
Sounds good. Thank you
very much. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Take care, Tyler.
Yeah, thank you.
While you're here, I just
thank you for your presentation.
Just mentioning to Tyler real quick that yesterday at AOC in Salem, passed out of the Public Lands Committee and the full ledge committee to sign a letter, President Pope, to our state delegation, all the members of the legislature and the governor, the congressional delegation, and the Secretary of Interior, and the director of BLM to get this contract renewed with BLM going with ODF for fire suppression. I don't want them dinking around, and it feels like they're not doing what it should have been done already. And
this is March.
Yeah.
You know, we're
the contract expires in July, and there's provisions probably to extend it, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is a long-standing thing. It needs to get worked out.
Well, you guys do your job too well, so that they're rethinking that if that's a never mind.
Pretty much.
Take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yep. You guys have a good day.
You bet.
You
thank you.
So I thought that was a positive outcome of yesterday to get unanimous support from all of AOC to get that moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
Good idea. I don't see Julie Smeltzer here for item 1 and 2.
Yeah, we'll work that out.
So shall we go to item 4, Commissioner Morgan, your presentation on the annual Wolf Creek Easter Parade?
We got JJ here for some reason.
I was just here to talk about the positions. And
okay, great.
Let's do that first. I mean, the parade
I have stuff that I'm working on while you're talking about other stuff, so that's fine.
Okay, so let's take your Easter Parade. Item number 4.
So we received a request or an invitation, I guess, of taking part in the Easter Parade, and it was just a matter of I figured I'd throw that out there. If we want to have a commissioner vehicle, we can all pile on the back of Dan's truck and ride through the parade and be done. I'm volunteering your truck. I don't know. Unless
we,
you got
we,
a car.
We caught that.
It must be early, but we caught that. Nice job, Morgan.
Gee, did I see that?
What's the date on that? I think that's a good thing to do.
It is Easter weekend, so it is March 31st.
Okay.
April 1st.
Is it on the Saturday of Easter weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
So April 1st is Easter.
Passover, what time?
It is...
10?
It's a morning one, let's see.
9?
Line up at 11, parade starts at noon.
Then the parade goes all the way down to the park or something.
Yeah, it goes down to the park, and then you kind of make your way out of there as people are walking through. So,
well, that's good to know that we don't maybe do a timber sale in there during that time. We're just doing a thinning project in the Wolf Creek Park. I want it done this year. It needs to be done.
So maybe not the last week in March.
Yeah.
As they're going to be having their... there is the pancake breakfast before that at the community center that starts at 8, but I didn't know if you guys have interest in taking part.
Well, it certainly would go in line with getting out into the parts of the community, and frankly, this board is blessed at the fact that we have two incorporated cities and a handful of little communities. If you were in a Jackson or a Douglas County, they've got a plethora.
Yeah.
And the distance that they have to venture. Douglas County is three times the size of Josephine County, so
yeah.
It's the least I think the board can do. And
well, and this thing here is so well attended by everybody in Wolf Creek.
It's packed.
Everybody in Wolf Creek goes to this thing. So
let's do it.
Throwing candy?
You
want to be in charge of the candy? Commissioner Morgan?
Sure. I'm trying to think.
You know,
they let us pass out candy.
I think
last
we did.
Yeah.
I went up there on a campaign thing a couple of years ago, and we were the kids really liked that. That's probably the only time they ever get candy, to be honest with you.
Do we have a sign that's Josephine County Commissioners?
We used to. I'll find it. See if we can find that banner.
See if we can find
okay.
It. We use my truck,
my
four-wheel drive, the older one.
We have two banners.
Okay.
My older truck.
Board of Commissioners somewhere.
I only know about your new truck.
Hmm. My old GMC, it's a 75
GMC. No, that'd be classic.
That would be fun.
Yeah, it's, it's something, classic and, instead
so
of
the
new Dodge pickup or anything like that.
Maybe a couple hay bales and then we can...
Mm-hmm. Hopping into spring is the theme.
Popping into spring?
Hopping, like a bee.
Hopping?
Hopping,
okay.
Yeah, like a bee, Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
31st?
Great.
31st. Got it. Are you ready, JJ?
No, it would be Julie. He's with us.
Julie.
So.
Okay.
There were just a couple staffing things I saw on the agenda.
Do you try to find Julie?
I just text her.
You did? Okay.
Did you too?
BCC, well, let's go to...
She was at the BR&E meeting this morning, and then she was having a meeting with Business Oregon and... economic development from the city afterwards. So
at least we can deal with it on Thursday. It's
Let's just go down to item number 5, Commissioner Herr.
So this was just something that I
lighting issue.
Yeah, I was. I don't even remember what office I was in, and the lighting was just superiorly better. And I know that I've had conversations with our staff and other people that it's old and it's not exactly it's not great for your eyes and that sort of thing. What I thought about doing is trying to see about a pilot project and, you know, that we would roll out over time because these are not easy things to do because they have to be done in the evenings. And if we kept them as smaller projects, we would be under the prevailing wage element and all of that. We could figure out what works the best. And then I want to apply it, like, eventually countywide in the appropriate facilities. So I don't know that it starts here. It might start in the clerk's office or something like that. But I think working with Ryan... to say, yeah, we're going to set aside X number of dollars from the property reserve every year to upgrade the lighting in our facilities.
Do you remember where you were?
I know what they look like in my head.
I mean, are they LEDs? Are they
Costco has LED fluorescents if we use.
They're diffracted or something, you know,
okay.
Light. It was really pleasant to be in there, and I'm hypersensitive.
Yeah.
My eyes are always just, this is a lot of light for my eyes, so
he wears his sunglasses at night so he can see.
Is there an image in the mirror?
Thanks, JJ. I appreciate that courtesy laugh.
Nope.
No image
just
in the mirror.
In my mind,
either.
No.
Okay.
So something to work on if that was something.
Well,
you
it
know
is.
We're supportive
could Energy Trust of Oregon with their efficiency
maybe,
things
but
be a
partner?
I don't
think we're our lighting system is necessarily inefficient right now.
Okay.
I think we've done some efficiency upgrades in the last decade or so. I don't think that we're, we may, but we'll definitely look into that for sure.
Get a hold of
it. I don't put the lights on in my office for that very reason. Yeah. I can't handle these.
Christine, would she be somebody to, from PP&L?
Yeah, Ryan knows those people. He knows the people at Avista.
She knows all the programs inside and out, and that would be, you know, if there's a, they're constantly on the leading edge of technology, so.
Yeah, if you guys are just supportive, I'll work with Ryan on getting that. And I was thinking a pilot project, so we roll it out over time. It's not one big expense.
Right, I don't want to.
I don't think you'll have any objections from staff anywhere.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's all I wanted to know.
All right. We have item number 6, BCC staffing, and that's kind of, I think that's more of a budget issue.
Then
as we get closer to budget, maybe we'll...
I think we need to be thinking about it.
Spend a little time on that. Julie evidently is detained at another meeting, so if you'd like, we could take these two and move them forward to another meeting.
I think Thursday makes sense if that's
Thursday
the
would be
for
okay.
Calendar.
Okay.
I have a bunch of stuff, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's fire away and let's get started there.
Looking at the end of my term coming up here in 10 months or 9 months, there's certain things that I think are really important perspectives that need to be reinforced. And so we're going to be bringing a forestry ordinance here to the board. And the point of that is to really codify what the intent of those lands is. And my predecessor in the position that I'm in had a pretty significant difference of opinion about forest lands, and a recreation focus was his main stewardship style contracts, thinning projects. And we've worked with that for a decade. So the previous generation of foresters generated about $250,000 to $260,000 on a 10-year average of revenue. Streeter's charge and how he was hired was sustained yield on the basis of the inventory. This is just an example, and he's moved it into where I think we're going to be generating somewhere around $750,000 on a 10-year average. $750,000 to $1 million is where I'm hoping to come around. And that's all sustained yield. It's not digging into the principal. It's sustainable forever at that rate. So that just, and we're going to hopefully codify that by ordinance. We have a draft coming.
When you say you want $750,000 to $1 million, if the price drops, do you cut more, or is there a ceiling?
No, there's a sustained yield ceiling on a 5-year average.
All right, okay.
So all of that is worked out in detail in this thing. It's really reflective of the ONC Act. It incorporates the Oregon State Forest Practices Act. I don't want to get into that too much. That was just an example. The other thing that I was thinking about is what other things should we take advantage of this opportunity of having three like-minded commissioners to kind of set up some structure, some long-term thinking. The other one was, I am adamant about not changing the front of the courthouse to facilitate some other means. This is how it was designed. And we actually have a design that incorporates another access we paid money for, and it probably is the best solution.
Are you talking like a single point of access?
Yes.
Yeah, because see, for me, if I envision it, it's the Justice Building entrance if we had
possibly.
To do it.
All I care about is that we don't have, you know, like this modular elevator shaft coming out from the front of the building that facilitates, you know, and just...
You don't want to... The aesthetics of the front building should stay the same.
Should stay
the same. Because that's historic.
Right.
Yeah.
That's historic.
The Board of Commissioners has the authority over this. So I'm trying to think about things that we could say, no, we're going to pass a one-line ordinance that just says no. In no way, shape, or form will you change the... historic integrity of the facade of the building.
Right. We could meet the ADA requirements by simply upgrading the elevator in the Justice Building. Mm-hmm. It's already ADA with the ramp and the stairs. It has the lobby to accommodate security checkpoint.
Yeah.
The only thing that it would require would be a bigger elevator shaft, which would be a costly project that court security potentially could pay for. But the potential is that would become the single point of entry
for
the courts.
Well, in the last go-around for courts appropriation after the Multnomah Pig and the Python was getting out. That's a $300 million project the state took on. There were five counties, Multnomah being one. We were number 6 in that list. So we're in the next top 5 if we continue to apply. We need to do that, but we have to have a plan. All I'm saying today, you can work on the plan. I just don't want this to change. So I'm trying to look at, you know, what happens in 5 years from now.
And it makes sense because parking is very limited out here. And even if you have ADA, you park out here, it's going to be tough to get out of anything.
There were people proposing, you know, a ramp and then an elevator inside and a thing that goes up the little stairs. And I'm just like, no. I've seen other courthouses where they shut down the front entrance, except for special events, and they use a single point of access. Done.
Well, and from our standpoint, since I've spent some time thinking about this topic, glass doors across the top level that are emergency exit fire alarm only, so you can't get into the second floor. You could get out, potentially. And then the elevator here gets shut down to only basement, first level. Then the only elevator and stair access to the top is actually in that is the Justice Building entrance. So they have a single point of entry for courts, but the county offices can still be accessed by the front entrance, the side entrance, and the elevator. And so that it would allow the courts to have what they're asking for, but us to still have the access and preserve the front of the building. But I know those conversations would come down the road and all that kind of stuff, but I agree with keeping the historic preservation of the building.
And just a one-liner, that's what this commissioner's board...
But if you codify it by ordinance, it goes through the whole process, two readings, 90 days.
Really takes up
the... next board has to pause a little bit before they just sign up and do something for the difference.
Yeah. Okay.
Another issue that I had is when I was in D.C., I met with Cy Jamison. We employ Jay Sullivan, who's part of Cy Jamison. to work on a transfer of property, both from the county to the BLM and from the BLM to the county. Very receptive to the idea, at no cost to us so far, but in order to retain the federal representation to facilitate this, to draft the legislative language and such, it's going to cost the county some money. I don't have the experience to do it how it's been done before. The person that I'm looking to retain is in Jay Sullivan's office, Cy Jamison, and he was the previous U.S. Forest Service director in the Department of Agriculture, so he knows
the words.
Yeah, and he's very tight with Walden's office and DeFazio's. He was in the meeting with Chris Pratt. So the number that he gave me pencils out for about $20,000 to $25,000 to get that done. It's 12 different properties. It's not small. The ease with facilitating the management of our park system for the foreseeable future would just be, I can't even explain to you what it would do. I believe it's well worth the money for the product.
Well, for 12 properties, it comes out to roughly $2,000 a piece. You can't get a lawyer to draw up a contract for $2,000.
Hmm. I think it's
a property exchange.
He was proposing retainership, and I don't like that. Lobbyists, you give you give an initial, and then you give a lump sum at completion. That's the way I would structure it. So all I need from you guys today is to give me the authority to work with legal to draft up some sort of a contract for that works.
So we've talked about that list in the past, and we've given our support of working towards that.
Yeah.
It was part of the trip last year that you went, so I would support that.
Everything
consistent with what we've been.
Commissioner, I'm glad you're bringing it up now, because we are coming down to the tail end of your reign.
Trying to check off these boxes.
Right, and I hate to see something just get, because, yeah, we talked about it. Now's the time to start pushing forward on it.
Yeah. And this is the right Congress, this is the right administration.
Right.
It's a bipartisan issue. It'll be in cooperation with BLM. The timing is right. So
right.
I'll work on that. I just wanted you to be aware of that. I don't want to go to all that work if you guys are not receptive. Other counties have been receptive. It's worked for other counties as well through their federal retainerships. So.
Okay.
I stayed for the administrator's part yesterday at AOC. It was really beneficial from a standpoint that I would encourage working with JJ to do the employee review board training. They offer three different opportunities for the board to become more up to speed on that element of union negotiations, as well as staff challenges, that we don't have an administrator or somebody in that capacity. Of course, we have a very qualified HR manager, but it behooves all of us to know how those processes work. And I think that that would be, and it's free, and it's both with the labor and the non-union. So they can come down here and spend a few hours going over the basics of it, so we all have a level playing field. And I think with the number of new managers we have, mm-hmm. it would be advantageous as well.
Okay.
So.
And AOC, they present that?
The Employee Review Board or provides that training.
Okay.
So it's a great opportunity. And I'm not sure how much that costs, but it sounded as though it was like free. It was a service they provide. So I think it would be well worth its weight in gold if we could get that done. We have great labor relations right now. But I just want to make sure that it stays
that
way.
I think it would probably deter or defer if we're going down the wrong path. We don't want to hear it in a labor dispute when we could have corrected it early because we knew where we were going.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
That might
you know,
be.
And you guys are probably in the beginning of a two-term opportunity here. You can depreciate this training over some
yeah.
time and having new managers. I have yet to reconnect, but OFIC director has reached out and said that her board is receptive. Oregon Forest Industries Council is the one who represents industry's interests in maintaining good environmental protections that still facilitate proper forest management. So they're the advocacy arm at the state level. And I believe the Oregon State Forest Practices Act is going to come under some pretty tough scrutiny in the next couple of years, decades.
You know, we keep hitting on this thing over and over and over, just keep pecking at it. Are we getting really close to that? I mean, it seems to me like, you know, the OFIC and everybody, Oregon Forest Practices and how they, are we getting any closer to winning on that?
Well, we're not losing right now. So
right.
I'm working on a...
I mean, we talk about sustained yield and what it should be.
We're doing really well right now.
Okay.
What I'm encouraging the board to do is become members of OFIC to balance out their advocacy that it isn't just a bunch of rich timber barons that are affected by Oregon State Forest Practices Act coming under, you know, change in management decisions. So it's working right now. Let's maintain what we have. And if the counties are at the table working with OFIC saying, you know, when you cut off forest management on the timber side, you no longer have an avenue for cross-laminate timber technology to be developed. And they're looking at wanting to put a new location in Clackamas County.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, John Duncan down here, he uses 3 million board feet a year. If he doesn't have access to that, there's 1,000 doors a week that he doesn't make. There's 250 jobs in our community that are gone. It really is important that I think we work with OFIC to get that.
I would say that because we have our own forestry department, we sell timber, we're forest industry.
We are part of that.
We are, Josephine County is in the forest industry business.
What are you asking?
I'm asking for you guys to endorse, they want an MOU or a membership guidelines and working with legal to develop something like that. Ironically, Coos County, I understand, was a member. I found this out for sure in 2015, and they let their membership lapse. They're interested in getting back in again. So is Douglas County, and so is Hood River County. So those are the counties with substantial county timber holdings. So this uplisting of the Marble Murrelet doesn't actually have an effect on our management. It has an effect over state lands. Now, I'm not sure about whether or not on neighboring state lands they find a murrelet habitat, potential nesting site. The polygon that they draw may have an effect because of such a checkerboard pattern, mixed ownership. We might find ourselves in that because we are within 50 miles. We are potentially marble murrelet habitat.
Okay.
And that could have a dramatic effect. The 50 miles goes pretty much like right down here. And we are the teal stuff. So anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff is potentially affected. It really isn't murrelet habitat. When you go out there, all of the limbs are this size and small. They need a 3.5-4-inch limb. They need moss. We don't have that. West side.
I've seen them with the calipers out there measuring limbs and then moving back towards the coast. No, like with Sudden Oak Death.
Yeah.
They throw that quarantine net. The guy right next door is saying, I'm not going to buy from you.
Yeah.
Because you're, what if the wind blew that way that day?
Right.
You just haven't been designated yet.
Yet.
And the same thing with the Mirelet. We're not there yet, but we're right next door. The next step, because they don't quit taking chunks. They don't say, well, no, we're going to shrink that down. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're next. So
So have we applied for membership yet? Because I know we endorsed that a couple months ago.
Well, we were.
Or we were pursuing.
We wanted to. We were looking to whether or not OFIC's board was receptive to the idea.
And what does it cost?
They are.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's going to cost us anything.
No.
They actually want our names. So it'll be nominal.
So I know that we had already talked about it, finding out what it needed to do.
They want an MOU that provides them some provisions so that, and I don't really understand it. I don't understand how the county could inflict some sort of liability on OFIC. But that's what they're looking to protect themselves through, an MOU. They're not a government agency.
Okay, so the MOU is for liability protection.
Yes.
Okay. I would support you working with legal to draft that.
And this doesn't put us, our position at risk with anything else like ONC or anybody?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, we're not.
No, they're
hooking up to a controversial.
They're hand in hand.
Okay. All right. So you're okay with that, Commissioner Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
And so am I.
The other one, I just wanted to give you an update, is I am working on a marble murelet statement that AOC can sign that in my committee, Public Lands, there was a motion passed unanimously to petition Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to reconsider their initial position on uplisting from threatened to endangered. There isn't an example, I guess, that anybody in the room could remember where Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife put a threatened or endangered higher than the federal designation. The federal designation right now is just threatened, and it's threatened in Washington and California. The science is, the margin of error is so phenomenally large on the science. It really is more of an emotional issue. They should not have done what they did. And so I need to draft that letter, and then next month at AOC, the whole room was fairly receptive. They just wanted the language, and I didn't have it drafted because it was just a motion from the floor from Public Lands, but I'll be working on that.
Okay.
That's what I have.
Commissioner Morgan?
There could be other stuff.
A couple things. I responded to some emails that came in last week and in-person meetings about Planning Commission appointments, and I just want to see where we're at with getting that followed up and encourage it to go. So I just want to...
Yeah.
I spoke with two of the candidates who are still interested. We've had a third candidate apply.
Right.
All three qualifications exist, and so it's just kind of one of those things of deciding.
I will do that and have it done by Thursday.
Okay.
Ricky, on my list to have ready for a recommendation for the board to approve and move to the
discussion Thursday.
Cool.
Thank you for keeping me up on that. It's just my experience is if we don't get the right persons in that rural planning commission, we're doing double the work, and they need to reflect a balanced position of the community. We can't have it weighted in one particular. I don't mind people having opinions. That's what they're on there for. There just has to be a balance of opinion so that they're evaluating criteria, and we haven't always had that.
So one other, let's see, we've been receiving emails lately as far as public information requests about economic development dollars that were used for the helicopter recoil and all that kind of stuff. I remember seeing the newspaper articles with Senator White and Mr. Rice and the pictures, but other than that, I don't know the history on the situation. I don't know the background on it.
It predates me. I have none of that. There was a reference to 2015, and that's not correct. I've never done anything since I've been in office, and that was in 2011. So
wouldn't there be a record if the county did put in $25K on it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
there
be a record somewhere of it?
Yeah. Arthur turned over all those records. I hope there is. It should be.
More or it didn't happen.
Well,
there's a possibility that Josephine County didn't put in $25,000 on it.
We may have. It doesn't matter. The money's been done.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's probably our statutory requirement. A lot of those are 7 years on those kinds of records. we may not have them anymore,
yeah.
You know? And 7 years is plenty of time. I don't know that there's anything we would or could have done, could do now anyway, you know? It was $25,000.
What's the purpose of the question? I mean, why, who's asking and why?
I don't know. I mean,
it came through a public information request.
Okay.
And so it's just a matter of, it came to us because they're not getting a response. And so, essentially, we're the keeper of the record as the elected officials. And I just thought I'd ask. I am superficially aware of the situation, but I don't have any personal knowledge of it or experience with it. So I just thought I'd bring up the topic as a follow-up, or see if anybody else was already taking care of it. If not, you know, volunteer to kind of follow up with staff and just kind of see where we're at.
Well, public records is with legal,
mm-hmm.
So let's just maybe bring that up under other this afternoon.
Okay.
And see if they've facilitated that, and they may have an answer as far as maybe we don't have records on those anymore. So I've got the email here from Ryan Johnson. He says he would prefer them not to co-locate the camera on our tower for complications of... He thinks it sounds simple, but apparently it's not, and that's not just a camera. I imagine there's probably two or three, maybe four cameras located in each quadrant or something like that. But and the other thing is that apparently either Forestry or VLM has a tower right next door. He said Forest Service,
mm-hmm.
but it might not be, because that's not Forest Service ground. It's BLM's ground. Up on Onion Mountain.
I'd be interested in asking Ryan what his reservations are about it, because...
Well, and maybe him and Tyler go out and kick some...
You know, when we...
Go look at it and say...
We talk about early detection and early, you know, putting these fires out, and the faster, the better, and so on and so forth.
We're going to find a spot for it.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
I'd just be interested as to what his technical...
We'll figure it out.
...reasoning is for that.
Well, and like...
Say no.
The question that came up with Frontier, they don't have a microwave system at all. Right now what's going on with the phone system is their system in the valley essentially connects up with fiber that Charter owns, and it brings it in so they can connect with the outside world. That line often gets blocked, and there's only a single access point for power. So Pacific Power goes into Cave Junction and out the other side, but there's no other source of... Correct.
They're not on a grid.
So when power goes down, it not only takes out their landline phones, it takes out their cell phone towers and everything else as well. And that's what we found with the snow system last year, is with the snow caused power outages that caused extended phone problems where people didn't have cell phone or landline. But because of that system, they haven't built a redundancy in. And if that link on the fiber gets cut, it happens fairly off a few times a year. What they can do is they can loop it back to the fire department, but they're not trained to call 911, and they have no ability to get that information to the sheriff. They don't want it. They want to find a way that the person can physically talk to our 911 center. And the way that was recommended is through the microwave system the county has and owns, that they potentially, when there's that outage, get forwarded through the county's microwave to our 911 so they can answer here and dispatch fire, ambulance, and sheriff accordingly.
Okay.
So I in my past job, worked with IT extensively on that microwave system because it's how we got internet to our county offices in the valley. And I was responsible for computers in my department, so it was something I was working with them. There's some issues with the system, and there's some issues with maintenance. I spoke with John McCafferty about it because we're not looking at adding a new system. We were trying to see if there was a way of having them use the county system. But there is maintenance concerns. And so not only, to me, I don't want to just accept a no from facilities.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
And I think the better, let's look at what the facilities needs. Maybe there is a way that they can pay lease or rent that can upgrade the system. They can cause some of those maintenance things. But I want to make sure that it's, so that just some background information on the other one, but.
Thank you.
Last week at the legislative conference, Rob Bovet wasn't able to make it. He was one of the flights that got canceled, and he did not make it to AOC. And out of that, Mike MacArthur asked me to be the point person for cannabis discussion on AOC. There's some specific legislation that is coming forth from counties to the NACO conference in July regarding cannabis and kind of a national stance for counties to advocate and legislate for. And I've been asked to go to that to make sure that we have Oregon's interests represented. There's one state that's kind of trying to push an agenda, and it's not necessarily in agreement with other states. And our standpoint as Association of Oregon Counties is that we have, how I call it is the Eastern Oregon hell no, the Northern Counties hell yes, and then the us, we have both. And so it's kind of one of those things, how do we make sure that all are represented and the things that we actually can agree upon and go for and keep the politics out of it. And so I am going to be, I had us get registered so that the spot was saved, but I'm going to be asking for permission of the board to go to NACO in July because of the topic and AOC's.
Will Rob Bovette be going in July also?
I don't know that. I know that Mike is, we've been emailing back and forth. I opted not to go to Salem because public safety got canceled, my committee got canceled, and I took part in governance by phone. I took part in the second half of health and human services by phone, and just to kind of save time and travel. And but Mike and I were emailing back and forth, and he wants me to coordinate with Rob and kind of still be that spokesperson kind of thing. So they saw the benefit of having a voting member there versus Rob can present a position, but he's staff. He's not a commissioner who has a vote or any other say like that. So I don't know what it'll become, but I wanted to give you a heads up that that was kind of an outcome of this last week, was an ask that I be at NACO in July.
I think the only way you're going to get anybody's attention is to take all the grows that are down here and move them to Portland and the north end of the state and move them into residential areas in there, and then they would not be so much of a hell yes. Anyway, that's just my fooling around.
So is okay. Registration refundable?
I don't know. There may be at a certain point.
Let's not sign up for stuff that's not refundable.
Okay.
Because registration's not going to fill up for those things. They'll always let you register. I don't mind getting hotel reservations because you can always cancel those. Those mm-hmm. make a lot of sense, and those do fill up. There's only a finite capacity for hotels. So that would be my recommendation in the future, is get the hotel. Everything else you can find later on. My perspective is I think that there needs to be some sort of representation, but I think AOC needs to have a definitive position. AOC is in a very tenuous position right now with all of its membership, mm-hmm. and it's such a controversial issue that putting things in the right way is absolutely key. And in order to you to be successful at that, AOC needs to have it in writing, specifically on what its stance is.
And Rob is continuing to change and edit.
There's very little that is cohesive about mm-hmm. this issue.
And I so think the one topic we got feedback, I apologize for interrupting, was the safe banking aspect.
Yeah.
Because it actually addresses black market issues. It reduces violence in the community. That was the one thing that we found with even the Eastern Oregon counties that were hell no counties, in their words, that they supported that concept. And so the wording that one of the states was trying to get forward was having NACO's platform be changed to say that cannabis is a non-dangerous substance. They want any reference to narcotic to be removed. And what we found is the Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington and some of those other counties won't support that. And so finding a way that NACO can still focus on the things that are common to the big counties, the small counties, the rural, the urbans, the various things, and have that messaging. But that's what Mike has tasked Rob and I to try to get solidified, mm-hmm. is what that language would be.
My position is a county commissioner here in Josephine County, our travel budget is mm-hmm. over it. So if you're there representing Josephine County, I can't endorse that. What I would suggest is that if AOC is willing to pay for this, they have the money to do this. If they're not, they didn't send Rob, they didn't send Susan Morgan to NACO. Mm-hmm. There's capacity there, and that's what I would suggest you petition them. If they're paying for your travel, then it makes perfect sense because you're representing AOC. You're not representing Josephine County. Of course, our interests will be also represented. But you know what I mean? That's been what I understood the historic practice when we have people going to WIR or anything else. If they're mm-hmm. going on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties, that's who's paying for them. And I'm going to do the same thing. If ONC has another meeting in the spring for the executive committee to go, we're not paying for it. ONC is going to pay for it. All of the counties are going to do it. So I think we need to do a better job of making, if everybody's benefiting, then everybody's going to pay.
Correct.
So that would be my position. I think we're tapped out for travel this year, as Josephine County is. Mm-hmm. Get AOC to pay for it, and you're good to go.
One of the things, are you done, Commissioner Morgan?
Sure.
Okay. One of the things that I was going to bring it up today, and it's been tapped on a whole bunch of times, I'm looking at the travel policy that we have in place right now. We need to, one of the things, and I'm going to be responding to Ms. Castanelli's concerns and some of the concerns we've had from the public about what does this mean to Josephine County when we travel. Mm-hmm. I think when we travel anywhere, whether we're just going to Salem or, you know, maybe you should bring back a report as to what we did. I think it's important at a weekly business session, if we've been out of town, anywhere out of town, to bring back a report as to what we did and why we went there. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, you know, you and I traveling to the Dalles for County College, we should have come back with a report on how we spent taxpayer money going to County College and what we learned, basically what the subject matter was and how it pertained to Josephine County. I think if we don't do that and take on that, like when you go to Washington, D.C. and you say, well, I testified for this, this, and this, how did that, not necessarily bring home the bacon, but how was that function of you going all the way to Washington, D.C.? Because while you're in Washington, D.C., you're not there. And when you're not there, that's when people come in and say, I need to speak to Commissioner Morgan. She's in Washington, D.C. on assignment. That's good. But when you come back, I think it's very important for the people to say, this is what I did while I was there, and that's how it's connected to Josephine County and the citizens. Because we're our travel budget is...
Well, and I think part of it, too, is we should establish a travel policy, because
yes, there is a travel
we have
policy.
Not
we
talked
have
about, as a board, what is right. the benefits of association membership. We have a national association. We have a state
yep.
association.
Yep.
And what we're finding is so many of the things that happen legislatively that we're impacted by, but it's always been the policy of the board, whatever, that's not our business. You know, you're the one that travels on our behalf because the forest management. But at some level, it is appropriate to have that conversation, is what is the value, what is the purpose, and how is that being
right.
met?
Well, I'm going through our travel. We have a travel policy, and I'm reading that now, and we'll get it out. But I think it's high time that we, because our budget went from here to here to here,
mm-hmm.
how is that affecting, I don't feel that my travel on Southern Oregon marijuana issue is a complete loss, because at some point in time it may come back. But I didn't spend that much time on it. I probably should have spent more. But that's what I mean. I think we need to bring home, when you come home, I think we owe it to our citizens if we can do it right at a weekly business session. Okay, we have, what did you do in the last week?
So put it on the agenda.
Yep, mm-hmm. The week in review of what the commissioners been doing for the last week. Well, I wasn't here last week. I was in, but this is what I was doing. I would like to avoid all the controversy and when it comes back to bite us, because we didn't, I guess, explain ourselves. And I you know,
well, part of my explanation when I ran the first time, it was, if Josephine County isn't at the table, we're on the menu. I committed myself the mm-hmm. first term and the second term. I am not going to shy away. And the one time I
no.
do, the one time I don't go to Portland.
The one time you're not in the room.
Marble Murillette is yep, uplisted.
Exactly.
From threatened to endangered. And I know in my heart that I could have affected that outcome, mm-hmm. having a 3-3 vote and then a 4-2 vote. That's my job, to be convincing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've got a PhD in it. I should have been
this,
in the room.
But this is
the
where
other thing
you
that,
come
I'm
in
done,
and explain why.
I'm not done. The other thing is that I gave up my retirement benefits for the first 4 years of my term. That's a $60,000 value to me that will, over the lifetime, probably reflect a couple hundred grand that I didn't appreciate. So for me, personally, I will travel where I need to, when I need to, in-state, to get the job done, and I've got a bank of $60,000 that I'm drawing against that I feel as though it was going to go in my back pocket, but I'm doing it just incorporating it into the job. So that's kind of where I came from, and one of the reasons our budget may not be on budget is because Commissioner Morgan has taken up a different portfolio of issues that I was not going, I'm not inspired to, and she's been there, and that hasn't always been. Out of the eight commissioners, we've really never had anybody inspired to do the legwork to get out there the way mm-hmm. Commissioner Morgan has. So
and we had County College in that, which was...
Most of that was last year,
yeah.
You know, half and half. So I think we need to figure out what's going to happen.
For the issue of transparency, I think it's imperative that when we come back, we explain how it's connected to Josephine County.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. that's all they understand.
Well, I feel terrible if I go to a meeting and I don't have something like a letter to ODF or a marble mm-hmm. muralette letter that, frankly, it wouldn't have happened had I not been in that room. I know it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to do when I'm going to these meetings, is that there's a perspective that otherwise wouldn't be represented. And I probably should do a better job of conveying what those things
now,
are.
It's all the people out there asking is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think we need to be more aggressive in saying, this is what I did.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, okay, I got it. That's how it connects to Josephine County.
Some of
perfect.
Those things, I mean, I'm not going to push back too hard, but like my meeting with AFRC last couple Thursdays ago, I really can't disclose what we were talking about in that meeting.
Well,
that's not something.
And that's
that's legislative advocacy. That's litigation coordination. Mm-hmm. That we're just trying to move the ball down the field together. Maybe that's all I say. Is that mm-hmm. So? I think we can definitely make improvements on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that would probably lead into really well is that, you know, you get back from a meeting and we do one of those 2-minute, 3-minute video logs
mm-hmm.
and it goes out on Facebook and says, this is what I was doing when I was back there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more people, there's 100 people that watch the weekly business session on YouTube, but there's probably 1,000 people that would tune into, you know, a
Facebook.
Live broadcast mm-hmm. Facebook deal, and it's free, it gets out there.
And you would be actually, you would almost be inviting input from those people to say, well, I didn't know you were there. This is what I think about that. And go from there. So.
Yeah. There's definitely positives.
Commissioner Morgan, anything else? Commissioner Hare? While we're general discussing.
There's this federal opportunity zone. I was going to bring it up if Julie was here, but I think we need to make sure that we keep that in the front of our minds. It's something that's already, frankly, should be coming to us and proposing that we apply for, facilitating that on behalf, our behalf. I'm 100% dissatisfied with Soretti and have been for years. And I don't know what you can do to ask, what is it that you do besides come ask us for money every year? So, I don't know.
I need to apologize. I was getting the emails about that, and I need to touch. That was Julie's meeting today, was about that opportunity zone, getting the application done next week. I had AOC and my LIPSIC coordinator were sending me emails. This is the deadline yesterday. Deadline by 5 p.m. You guys got to get some. And so I emailed Mike. Or first, I emailed Alex and said, hey, these are areas in Josephine County. Would they be appropriate for this opportunity zone? He's like, absolutely, but you need to work through AOC. So I had emailed Mike,
okay.
What do we got to do? And Mike sent me an email saying, you just need to nominate your census tract. Okay, you know, so it was kind of one of those things. So I submitted a nomination last night, thinking we had a 5 o'clock deadline. And when I saw Julie, I said, Julie, I need to touch base with you. I haven't heard anything. Are you working on this? Is, you know,
yeah.
What's going on with it? It would have been nice to get an update. Hey, this is coming up. We've got something we're proposing. So we knew where it's at.
She may have said something about this. I think I'm thinking about that broadband internet application that she did.
That one I remember getting an email on.
Maybe I don't think this one.
So what I recommended was the North Valley Industrial Park partnered with the Grants Pass Airport, and the Illinois Valley Industrial Park with the Ivy Airport is partnerships in low income, surrounded by residential, because there's three components of the thing. But it was, I assumed we'd have an application after it, the way Mike presented it. So I kind of touched base with her this morning. She was meeting with, like I said, Business Oregon to follow up with an application. But
good.
I don't know. It's one of those things that with the deadline yesterday.
Was it really yesterday, or was it?
No, it was an AOC imposed deadline, and then AOC was going to follow up. So Mike Eliason was going to follow up as well as far as recommendations and such. But from what I gather, Soretti's not a part of it at all. But they probably should be, because it's not just a business entity. I mean, a business entity or a developer could completely be the applicant. And I think part of it is they put out something saying, hey, this is coming up, but not a full representation of how is that helpful. The good news is Marta from Business Oregon Medford was met today with Julie and Susan C. Ryder to see that we're at the table, and they're looking at it from a whole area perspective of that. There is one thing. Now, we're all going to be at that transforming local government that first week of April.
Sorry.
Coma.
Yeah.
And
that'll be good.
But while that's happening, we're going to miss a meeting in Cave Junction at the City Hall. And it would be great to find a representative of the county that can be there. And but they're getting directors. Business Oregon is basically hosting us something to try to work on their water sewer plants out there and getting them funding for it. So they're bringing in all the funding partners that can facilitate that. A business retention and expansion meeting this morning, BRNE, they kind of give an update. But they're going to be out there April 4th, 5th, and 6th, and there's going to be a meeting on those days, but we're not here. So
who would we send?
To me, it would be Julie would be the appropriate person to send. But she hasn't signed up for that conference yet, but she may or may not. But somebody...
She did.
Okay, she is now. Okay. When I talked to her at 9 this morning, it wasn't
she
yet,
was the so. One who professed it to be just sliced bread.
She said that today at the meeting as well.
Never.
It better be. That's a long ways to go.
But having...
A lot of people.
Having somebody who can speak to... I don't know if there's somebody, kind of a number two at planning, that can see where the county's help can come into play as a backup to the city on those planning efforts.
Well, I would defer to Julie's suggestion, but James Black or Nora Schwartz or something like that
mm-hmm.
is the ones that come to mind. Maybe both of them.
Nora came, yeah.
Maybe both of them.
So they get the building side and the planning side both represented.
And she's got Public Works, which is a big nexus, transportation stuff. Yeah, let's test Julie with coming up with a representative or two to go out there.
Okay. And she was at that meeting today, so heard about the event. So.
Perfect.
Okay.
All righty. Look at us being right on schedule.
There's something else on my mind, and I just went away. Oh.
I have the list real quick of the legislators who voted for the $40 filing fee increase at the clerk's office for everything. And I want your guys' endorsement of putting maybe like a letter together to these people to say that this is just out of control, negatively impacting people's, you know, it's not like a small incremental improvement, and there may be no return on these people, $40 filing fee for everything, every transaction at the clerk's office. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So we were going to, AOC talked about this yesterday, and putting these names out on a sheet of paper on the door of the clerk's office saying, you don't like your filing fee, don't talk to us about it. Go call these people.
Well, and the Oregon Chamber of Commerce supported it as an opportunity to try to help get some workforce housing in place. And the Realtors Association supported
it.
What
do they have to do with it?
Why do they have to raise money to do these things? Why not deregulate? Make
exactly.
It easier?
Well, and I'm just curious about AOC taking a stance on it when we voted to stay neutral on the topic. So to follow up with a letter, probably...
The clerks were opposed to it.
The clerks were, but AOC was not. And so AOC...
Are you sure?
Yep, I'm positive.
Must not have been in that meeting, because I'm pretty sure I could ship.
I sat through three meetings that day, and it was no neutral. And it kind of changed in the last one. She, Representative Geyer, actually came and presented to them. And the vote ended up being agreed to remain neutral. And so, you know, and it,
yeah,
there's...
Yeah, I think I remember sitting it out. Like, I didn't take a position.
Okay. So I wouldn't recommend writing a letter at this point. I guess there could be some benefit of saying, if you're concerned, these are the ones that would hear that.
Yeah, I think that's what I would only do. Let the citizens do the letter.
Just put the blame where the blame lies.
Yes.
You don't need to... Send a letter out. If the people decide you're just trying to divert it from the counter.
Yes.
The staff at the counter is going to take the brunt of it. Just say,
really,
I'm sorry. We fully agree with you. And here's the folks that put it in.
Yep.
They voted for it. Public record.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Public record.
It doesn't, it also doesn't need to be a campaign issue for Adrienne, and that's not fair. It's not her deal. And the Clerks Association, before she got there, was opposed to this, so.
Yep. AOC dues. They're X number of dollars, and last year we were $6,000 less money because there was a couple of things that we didn't.
No, the price of the dues went up because of, they were stagnant since 2008. The AOC board voted to increase them at a percentage, and that was voted on at the AOC meeting in November. So all counties' dues went up.
Because ours went from 23 to 29, I think, something like that.
So it wasn't about just keeping things off. It was an intentional increase because of meeting financial obligations.
I'm going to leave it up to you guys. It's up to you.
I'm not willing to bail on them yet, but I
am
putting pressure
on
them.
But I'm wondering if they represent us in all the categories that they charge us for. That's the thing I want to review.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, we can look at the...
We'll just bring it up maybe.
I question the efficacy. I mean, we weren't at the table for the Marble Murillette deal, and it just seems like we've lost ground. There's got to be some positive changes up there, and I think there's a resounding opinion of this.
It's
this
coming,
idea.
And so that's why I'm not necessarily willing to bail out yet, because I hear the change coming.
We'll see.
Well, I appreciate AOC's progress on the initiative, and I think they're still on board with us for that. And that's important to me. That is very important to, I think, the people of Josephine County, because that, I want it to fund law enforcement, however you want to describe that.
Presented it that way yesterday, that, you know, this token, $1.5 million over five years, it's a start. But it's spit in the wind.
If we got it all, it would help, but it's not going to do what we need to do.
Well, not if you have to apply for it every year.
Yes.
You know, if you have to go back every year, you hired somebody on those dollars. You know, not even Justice Reinvestment's a single shot in the arm for a year. It's at least a 2.5-year project.
It actually was initial, too, and those counties that didn't show they did something effectively with it were put on a 1-year.
Yeah.
And so we were in a 2-year. We actually got most of the supplemental dollars. We got the second highest out of anybody because we showed we were doing so great.
On Justice Reinvestment.
Uh-huh. And the Criminal Justice Commission is the same group that's going to be administering. So we actually are slated to be in a good position to ask for the whole amount. And let's see what we get. We asked for more than they offered in the supplemental, and we got $1 million, which is
when do we do that? And it was, you know, well, it's going to even, and that fund is going to grow and over the years. I says, I don't have years here, Rob. We don't have years. Every phone call I got is they're planning right next door to me. They're planning more plants than they did last year. I thought the state's legislation, seed to sale, and all of this tracking system and everything was going to cure it. That did nothing. It hasn't changed my situation around my house at all. And then we had an ordinance. We spent how much time testifying over at Ann Basker? You guys passed an ordinance. That got put on hold. It is business as usual for the marijuana community.
So what about the
and people aren't happy
of pulling our proposed ordinance and starting the process for whatever Jackson County had that was upheld in LUBA? And we just move forward with that. I mean, go ahead and appeal it. It's already been upheld. State approval.
I think, and I'm no attorney.
Fight us on the version that was going to be very.
I'm not legal, but
so let's have that conversation this afternoon, because I think you're going to talk to us about LUBA tonight.
I think part of legal's report is going to be on what went on at LUBA. but I think that, you know, I think there's an element of it that we have allowed it on land where they didn't.
Yeah.
They never did. But and we tried to address that.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, that's just some of the things. So we'll have the discussion about AOC dues and take that line by line and see what the importance is, Commissioner Morgan.
Yeah, I would hold that off for a while. We don't
for
have
a while. So we're not.
And use
we've
it
got
as
plenty
a,
on our plate now.
Use it as a
leverage.
We're happy to, but what are you? What are you doing to improve?
These are the areas that we feel there was nothing.
Like I feel like Rob, the new Rob COO, he's solid. He I get a good impression about where he's coming from. But what are the steps to get, I mean, I'm on the board, have been for 7 years. Fix it. How do you get into this situation?
Yeah. Okay.
It's crazy. Okay.
Anything else? Commissioner Morgan, you set?
Yes, sir, for this afternoon.
For this afternoon.
Can't wait.
We are adjourned at 12:04. Thank you very much.